me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Want It Tall podcast. My name is Jake Heffelfinger, and this is episode number 19. How are you? How's it going? Everybody surviving the craziness, and craziness it has been. I pray right now for the people in New Orleans. They're about to go through something. That hurricane, it's up to... When a hurricane gets over the Gulf of Mexico, it goes from 1 to 4 really quick. And I just, you feel for them because, I mean, ever since Katrina and all the other ones that have hit there, I mean, that city's been through a lot. It's hard to keep things afloat, no pun intended. So you got that going on. You got that shit show going on in Afghanistan and just everything in the news. Do you ever find it where you try purposely to ignore the news? I know I do. But it just always seems to be in your face. Everywhere I go, I try to avoid it, but it's there. I try to take breaks. It's there. I turn off, I delete social media for a little bit. It still comes through. The phones listen. Everybody listens. You can't hide from it. And no wonder people get so stirred up and crazy about things. I mean, it is. It's like a crazy ex-girlfriend that will not leave you alone. Just always popping up when you don't want her to. Just always making you feel like shit. Always making you worry about things. Always making you worry, 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 just to get a reaction. And it's all for political theater, no matter what side of the spectrum you're on. And you can't deny that. It's just insane to me. You try to avoid things. No wonder all these news networks and everything are out there. Everything's crazy. Everything. I mean, first and foremost, I feel for those 13 soldiers. I feel for not just them, but they're right at the top. American soldiers, because regardless of where you stand, and I'm not claiming to be smarter than people in the Pentagon or people making all these decisions, but how this was handled, from the common law and the common sense eye, what a shit show. Somebody messed up somewhere. Some bad calls were made, and it's hard to trust what's in the news, for one. You don't know what you're reading. One network says one thing, one network says another. Then you throw the propaganda word around there. Then you're just sitting back going, "What? I can't keep it straight." You just want to know what you're trusting and what you're seeing. And based on what we're seeing, it looks like a shit show. Now, if you are on one side of the fence or another, it's okay to criticize without giving. That's what I've noticed too. You think because you criticize one old man that you're going to support another old man, and everybody's just scared. We're not that cut and dry as people. We're not that black and white. If you believe one view but have another, we can all agree on things. There could be more than one thing wrong right at the same time. I don't know what military action, but working with the Taliban cannot be a good thing. I don't care if they let us out scot-free or not, and we get everybody out there. This has been a nightmare, and it just somewhere somebody did there was something, and you hope there's no back end or behind the scene things going on. You don't want to think the world's that corrupt and evil. You just don't. And you got people blaming everybody else. It just all seems like deflection, smoke and mirrors. I mean, it's impossible not to have a certain feeling about it. For all the families, for all the people that got killed, it didn't seem like it was necessary, and I pray for those families. Having people in my family, in the military, friends and family that I know, I wonder how they're feeling right now, the ones that actually were directly impacted by this, because strategically, something's not right. I don't know what it is. Who knows what it's going to be at the end of the day? Who knows if we'll even be talking about this? But what's going on in Afghanistan right now is it's discouraging, sad, makes you question a lot of things, which you should always do. You should always question. You should always question. Just because you question the current one in charge doesn't mean you're supporting the other one, and vice versa. This goes round robin. I was watching, there's a documentary about Woodstock on HBO that I was watching. And this is back in 1999. So you're talking about a while ago. What I'm bringing this up because history repeats itself. Right before Woodstock 1999, the Bill Clinton was legally impeached. Bill Clinton, the Democratic Party, who everybody says is the best one. I'm not saying one's better than the other. He was impeached. On camera, he said, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman." But he did. Proven to be a lie. Every politician lies. Quit putting your stock in one senior citizen over another. And just because you're a senior citizen doesn't mean you're wrong. You didn't get what I'm saying. That was 1999. We're in 2021 right now, and the same kind of shit is going on. People just trying to yell at people. What is it about the human nature that we love to kick people, or we love to drag people down? We love to talk negativity, but it's so hard to do positive. Why is that? Why, with all that we know, is it so hard to stay positive and look at things the right way? Why? Why? We have more information now than we ever have, and we still can't put the pieces together. You get so roped in to a story that you don't even know is accurate. I want to believe everything that I'm seeing, but I always can't help but notice or wonder if my and then when people get mad at you for questioning, or they read the same article you did, but you're like, "I don't know." And they're like, you don't know. And then they yell at you so matter-of-factly. I don't like how it stirs people up like that, because I never have been like that. I try to believe what I see. If I believe something and it ends up being wrong, so be it. But at least I'm trying to have free thought about it. I just encourage more people to do the same thing. Just because you ask questions doesn't mean you're a certain way, or doesn't mean you mean harm. Or if you're hesitant and somebody else is not, like, when did we become like that, where just because I disagree with you makes you my enemy? That's not how a civilized society is supposed to go. It baffles me. And it's decade after decade, year after year. It's the same shit. There's nothing new under the sun. I just want everybody to get along, laugh, and have fun. And I know in a perfect world that can never happen. Strategically, leaving all of our weapons for the Taliban and the new ISIS-K. Was there ISIS pre-K? And then now there's going to be an ISIS middle, and there's ISIS high. Are we seeing the evolution here? But I can't imagine leaving all of our guns and ammo and giving it to them, hoping they're going to do the right thing with it. They have all the helicopters, they have all that, and I can't imagine that's a good thing. They flat out will behead us on let some shit happen now and see how people flip. It's like back and forth. It's like that ride the Phoenix. Just woof, back. Woof. Oh, I believe this. Woof. Oh, I hate you. Then they start turning us against each other. This is just my two cents, my dumbass sense. But I can't imagine that's longevity a good thing. Believe what you want to believe, but don't hate others unless they cause you harm or they do something to provoke you or your family or your loved ones, a right of opinion, you do not want to lose your right to speak. We don't want to lose that. So don't try to take that away. And try to have an open mind and don't some things you got to hear and believe, but God, it's so in your fucking face. I'm like, we gave them all our weapons. We brought the military. Who knows who's to blame, but somebody's just got to call it what it is. And if all the stuff they're saying about the border is true, you don't think those people want to cause us harm? You don't think there's a right to be concerned? So if somebody is criticizing one way or the other, who are you to tell that person? With all the news channels, all the social media in your face, everybody feels like they're professionals in every situation. And I'm not claiming to be smarter than these world leaders or people. I'm not saying they're not corrupt, but they know way more than we do. That's what I'm always questioning, is what else is going behind the scenes? What else? What else? What else? What else? Because we've seen human nature's reaction rather than proaction, you know, proactiveness, proaction. I don't think for yourself, people. Lot of bad shit going on out there. You don't think the people in New Orleans you think they're worrying about Afghanistan right now? They're worrying about if they're going to have a home tomorrow. Regardless of what politicians in charge, we all still can look out. You can control how you feel. We all can look out for one another. So pray for people in New Orleans. Pray for people in Afghanistan. Those aren't the only two places things are going on. Politicians just make me sick. They get everybody so stirred up. It's nuts. And people just eat it up like Frosted Flakes. Why'd you choose Frosted Flakes? Because it's delicious. Cap'n Crunch, whatever you're choosing. There's no shortage of things to complain about. Try not to complain so much. One at all on Instagram, oneatall.buzzsprout.com, oneatall@gmail.com. Comment, like, subscribe, listen more importantly. Thank you for everybody that's listened. Thank you for everybody that's downloaded an episode, commented, sent me emails to talk about. Without you, there is no me. I try to get better with each episode. Just get on here, hit record, and go. And just speak what I see. Even if I think having an opinion is important. But there's a fine line between having an opinion and forcing your opinion. You can't force people to believe everything that you believe. You just can't do it. You're going to be fucking miserable if everything you believe in, you want somebody else to be, if they don't, like, if they have a disagreement with it, okay. Okay. As long as they don't, like, harm your mom, who cares? They're just saying words. Believe what you want to believe. Just don't believe in anything that causes harm in other people is a bad thing. That's one thing that I can completely, completely get on board with. And I completely believe there's no faith or religion or belief that causes harm to other people that it should be supported. Why isn't weed illegal? Or why is weed still illegal? I don't get it. With all everything that we know. Remember that was promised on the campaign. We will legalize marijuana on a federal level. I haven't heard anything about that. What happens with that? If you're a law person, can you tell me what the repercussions would be? Because with all the states and everything where you can get it, I mean, I feel like it's more accessible than ever. Money's being made. It causes way less harm than alcohol. The old school, there's a certain demographic, I get it, and I respect your opinion, that just won't want a marijuana to be legal. The sweet, sweet God's grass. The devil's lettuce. The places where it is legal are okay. People should be allowed to smoke. You can't tell me from a criminal standpoint that it's worse than alcohol. And I love me some alcohol. What's the worst you're going to do? Have you ever been around in a bar where people are just shit-faced? It is fucking chaotic. Somebody, there's always somebody without a shoe. There's always somebody with a broken chain. There's always that one person has the tribal tattoo. There's always a girl crying, smeared makeup. But if you did that same group of people and you let them take an edible, or you let them just chill out and smoke, I guarantee the worst thing that'll happen is two things. One, people will be probably taking a nap somewhere, or they'll eat your food. Your snacks are at constant risk. So tell me what situation you'd rather be in. I'd rather be in with everybody laid back and smoking, not saying you should do it regularly. But if one's completely, you could buy at any store and the one is frowned upon, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It's not like we're talking about meth or coke here. I mean, meth, obviously. Come on. I do have a tall fact for you for this episode. This is episode 19. Have you ever looked up and seen what the tallest bong ever created was? And this shit is no joke. The tallest bong ever recorded. You can find this on the latimes.com. Imagine that. The tallest bong that is fully functional stands at 24 feet. 24 feet long. Imagine sucking smoke out of that goddamn pipe. It's in Las Vegas. There's an elevator you can get to it. It weighs more than 800 pounds. And the bowl can pack a quarter of marijuana at a time. It has elements in the glass that'll make it glow greenish mostly, which it should be, while bathing in black light. The artist behind this is Jason Harris. Big shout out to Jason Harris. He said, I make giant bongs. They are my voice to make noise in the world. Do your thing, Jason. Bring that big, beautiful bong out in the world for people to smoke on. What we need to do is go set that thing in the middle of Afghanistan and just drop it down. Osama bin Laden, Osama bin smoking. If you haven't seen Jamie Foxx, I Might Need Security, there's a segment there. Here's a clip.
I don't know. I think when I think about it, you better be glad you're in America, because they dropping bombs and food. You might dodge a missile and get hit by a roast. Yeah. Oh, they've killed my son with the poisonous pot roast. Give me a Scud missile with extra cheese and shit. Bill Clinton, would he handle it? I think I would have felt just a little bit better if Bill would have. Because I think Bill would have handled it smooth. He'd have just went over there to talk to Osama bin Laden. He just went over there. Hey, where anybody seen a? How you been loud, Osama, man? What in the fuck is your fucking problem? Hey, man, you gotta chill out, man. What the fuck is wrong with you? Trying to blow up everything, motherfucker. Shit. Hey, man, let's chase these bitches, man. Come on. Chase these motherfucking bitches, motherfucker. Yeah, you wanna hit this? Chill out, motherfucker. You know what it is, man. You need some pussy, man. You got bitches all around you, but you don't know what they look like. You got them covered up. Unveil some of these motherfuckers, man. It might be some ass under there, motherfucker. Come on, Osama. That bitch, look at that bitch got ass right there, son of a bitch. Mwah. Put down the bombs and pick up a bong. You know what I'm saying? Change your name, too. Osama bin Laden. What kind of name is that, man? How about Osama bin drinking, huh? Osama bin fucking. Osama bin smoking. That's my favorite, motherfucker. Be glad you're in America.
Still holds. Still holds. When I was younger, too, I used to always wonder why parents never wanted to talk politics. They would talk about anything else. There's an old Chappelle joke. If you haven't seen Killing Him Softly, that's another great stand-up where he talks about it. And as I've gotten older, I completely get it now. I feel like politics just divides people and gets everybody angry and makes everybody a professional and everybody thinks they know it all. And I completely understand now why why nobody wanted to talk about politics when I was growing up. Who you voting for? That's none of your business. And I was always like, why? Who cares? Who gives a fuck? We're all entitled to our own opinion. We all can believe what the hell we want to believe, right? As a kid, you're naive, right? But I swear, I don't know if I'm getting older and senile, or older and more paranoid, or just older becoming that grumpy old man. All these kids these days, and their damn music, and their flip-floppity-flops. Now, I get it, because you get put into a box when you say who you support, even though the only options we have to support from you're not going to win either way. And I don't know if that's by design. That's just how they want it. I mean, there's powers that are way above my normal self. I just know we take a lot of things for granted too. But now I get it. Here's a clip from Chappelle killing him softly. Get ready to laugh.
This is an election year. I'm asking you, your white guy, do you know who you're voting for yet? Don't know, do you? Now you see that? You see what just happened here? Let me tell you something. That is a cultural thing. He knows who he's going to vote for. He's just not going to tell me. See, I've noticed that. That is a cultural thing. White people do not like to talk about their political affiliations. It's a secret. You ever ask a white guy who's voting for you? Hey, Bob, who are you going to vote for? Dave, whoa. Take it easy now. Take it easy. So anyway, I was fucking my wife in her ass, right? And I mean, it was something else. Yeah. But who are you voting for? Dave, come on with the voting. I'm trying to tell you about fucking my wife here. Ask me all these personal questions. They don't like to divulge that information because it matters to them. Black people talk about that shit. Black people will openly talk about politics. Black people will openly talk about beating up politicians and shit. I see George Bush, I'll kick his motherfucking ass for cutting my Medicaid.
Whoa, Dave, you're talking about fucking my wife. Tell me that's not the truth. It's just, stuff doesn't make sense to me. And it shouldn't. If it makes sense to you, all good and gravy. But I do like to question things. I've always been that way. If something doesn't make sense, why? Why can't we ask questions about this? Why can't we? And now I've heard that, and I looked it up on the Homeland Security site, and I don't know what this means, but look it up for yourself, that if you question COVID-19 or anything like that, you're labeled, that you can be labeled a terrorist. What? If that's true and that's basic what we're reading, so you're not allowed to even ask questions anymore, even though there's, don't forget, opioids were FDA approved. Now look, I think it was Zantac, the Rantanine that was in the heartburn pills. I know this because I took those. They got pulled from the shelf because they were causing cancer. So you can't ask questions, like, because it's being pushed by the federal government and they want full control. Just, I don't understand. I don't get that. That doesn't make me a thumper or whatever you guys like to call people, or whoever likes, either way, they fucking name calling too. This is why I met on the last episode with the golden rule. Treat people how you want to be treated. Who name calls? I'm 40 years old. Who name calls another person? When it comes to politics, it's wide open. A lot of frustration around politics. I just don't understand how, like, I just don't understand a lot. And so if somebody can message me, let me know why can't we all agree to disagree on things? Like, you realize if we all thought and agreed on every single thing, that would be weird. That would be weird. Showing respect when somebody to somebody else, even when they don't respect your opinion, is a different level of maturity that I've learned. I try, even when people unless it comes to sports. Is it, like I said before, if you're a Yankees fan or anything like that, go fuck yourself. Sports, it's okay. It's harmless. When it comes to policies and all this kind of stuff, it's just crazy. It's just a lot of anger, man. And I just never, I want to be in a situation where, because if somebody saw something on the news, I happen to be walking downtown or walking around anywhere, and because somebody's fired up and full of rage and anger, that I get taken out on that. I don't want to ever be in that position. Like, especially when some rioting's okay, but other rioting is not. Rioting is rioting. Causing scenes is causing scenes. You know what I'm talking about. Read between the lines. I just can't keep it straight. What's okay and what's not okay. One side believes their thing's right. The other side, and everybody clashes in the middle. And then when one thing, we're all people, we're all entitled. That's one of the things about this country that's so great, is we all can think and speak for ourselves to a certain degree. Unless it comes to sports. It's perfectly okay to hate when it comes to sports. Especially if you're playing a player that you draft early in your fantasy football draft that doesn't pan out, or you're playing somebody and then that player goes off for 4 touchdowns. You have every right to hate that player for 4 to 6 weeks and curse his name. If you haven't seen that show, The League, there's an episode where they talk about the game where Antonio Gates, tight end for the San Diego Chargers back then, put up 3 or 4 touchdowns, and they play it out in the show where the character on the show ends up sitting and coming in contact with Antonio Gates and really giving it to him. That's when it's okay. Here's the clip. Antonio Gates. And everybody's been in that predicament where you're playing that player and next thing you know, they put up 50, 60, 60 points or so, and it just drives you nuts. We've all been there. Or if you draft that, like last year, I took Saquon Barkley, who was, I had a number 4 pick in the draft. He was supposedly easily one of the top, right? So I took him with confidence. Blows out his knee, out for the year. Never dog because of injuries, because these are professional athletes and injuries do happen. But it's like the 1 year later and everybody's like, oh, he ain't. It's funny how that changes. But I was scared to draft him. I still have him in one of my other leagues, but I'm very hesitant and I shouldn't be, because Saquon Barkley's nasty. He's the real deal. I just don't know how that offensive line in New York's going to go. Is there anybody to you that's a clear-cut number 1? Christian McCaffrey, same thing. Got hurt last year, but he's still going number 1. They still got a good system there. How early do you take a wide receiver? Are you a fan of PPR? I want to know. Football season's less than 2 weeks away from the opening night game with the Bucks and the Cowboys. Are you in a 3-wide receiver league, a 2-wide receiver league? How do you feel about flex? These are all questions. Who should you start? Instagram, oneitall, oneitall.buzzsprout.com, oneitall@gmail.com. Send me your questions. Comment, like, subscribe. I'll help you set your lineup. I'll give you advice. If you're in a PPR league, do you go running back first round or 2, or do you go wide receiver, running back, wide receiver? What's your train of thought on that? What, running backs on one hand getting consistent touches, where a wide receiver could also get you a big chunk of yards quicker. So what do you go with? This is a question we ask ourselves every single season, and even if the scoring doesn't change. Fantasy football news. If you've already had your draft, I'm sorry, J.K. Dobbins, running back for Baltimore, blew out his knee last night against, I don't know, who did they play last night? Was it the Texans? No, the Bears played Texans. The Ravens, he blew out his knee, so now Gus Edwards is the main running back there. Breaking news today, wide receiver for Indianapolis, T.Y. Hilton, looks like he's going to be out from, it just says multiple weeks right now, because of a neck injury. So Michael Pittman Jr., I would highly recommend going with him on your draft if your draft's coming up, because somebody's going to throw him the ball, and Carson Wentz can still chuck it. Don't get confused on Carson Wentz now. That offense, Indianapolis is loaded. Don't overlook them. Like, I'm in Nashville, and the hype around the Titans is pretty real, but I don't – if Carson Wentz is healthy, Indianapolis is a problem. I mean, top to bottom, they built that team the right way, put defense, offensive line. And then I'm reading breaking news here, too, that the Ravens are looking at Todd Gurley, so he could be worth a speculative ad. Now that J.K. Dobbins is out. So if Todd Gurley goes there, you could get ahead of your draft if you're listening to this. Tom Brady lit up 91-yard drive for the Bucs last night in a tune-up. Next time it's on the field, it's for real. Philip Lindsay, David Johnson, Mark Ingram, three-headed monster in Houston. Do you even bother with any of those running backs? I don't think it's worth your hassle. Philip Lindsay could be the dark horse, though. Mark Ingram's been playing with the number ones. But I think Philip Lindsay could be a steal later on. But I don't like drafting. I don't like running back committee situations. I like to go for the full-blown who's going to be the main running back type thing. But in Houston, a player to look at is Brandon Cooks. Who else are they going to throw the ball to? They got Fuller, but Brandon Cooks, they're going to be dinking and diming. He could be a sneaky in a PPR league. Non-PPR league, what are you doing? How many leagues are you in, by the way? I'll be in three total this year. Don't you hate when you're playing in a league though, and you're against one, you're starting a guy, but you're playing against them. That's why I don't like to be in more than three. And I try to keep the drafting pretty consistent. If the players are there, just on one hand, that player could get hurt and then you're without him in multiple leagues. On the other hand, when you're playing and against and with, you just got to keep an open mind about it. Just don't get locked into one league. Because that's not good for anybody. Summer's almost over. Was it September 21st? But I'm already seeing the pumpkin spice. It's here and it's early. I was down in St. Pete this past weekend. We went to West Shore Mall, which I got to. So my buddy Matt, we went to go to Lid's locker room to get some Bucks gear. Says it was open at 11. This is what you call a good old-fashioned call-out. The only way I know how, because I'm not calling corporate. But Lid's and West Shore Mall locker room was supposed to open at 11. We wasted 45 minutes of our morning till about noon, standing outside and waiting. They didn't even acknowledge. We tried calling. Didn't even open. Unbelievable. Nobody's working these days, and there's also a store in that mall. I haven't been to the mall since the pandemic started. So this is my first time walking around the mall. Did you guys know about this, by the way? They have a selfie store. And let me describe to you what a selfie store is in case you're wondering and sitting back going, what the fuck is a selfie store? It's exactly what you think it is. It's a store with different backgrounds that you can go pay for time and take selfies in front of. Selfie store. What in the actual fuck? If that's not further proof that the terrorists have won, I don't know what else there is. I mean, I literally said what the fuck when we walked by it. As if there's not enough spots in regular life, you have to go to a store and a mall to take selfies. I wonder what business like is. I wonder if my attitude would change if their revenue stream is pretty nice and they were making a lot of money. Sadly, I could see it doing okay with everybody doing that. But now that I know a store exists, I'm not trusting any selfie I see. I like a nice natural selfie. A nice where I know, not in a store, not manufactured. So those exist now. Holy shit. What's next? Where you go try on different shoes to take. I wonder if you can try it. I wonder if you can rent a pair of shoes in there to take a selfie with your sneaker. I don't know. It's just odd to this 40-year-old. But what I was getting at was Lids can suck a ball sack. I don't know who didn't show up for work that day. Nobody wants to work. Stores are closed. The coffee shop there wasn't even open on. And I'm not complaining about the overall thing. My point to this is that it seems like nobody has any work ethic. And you're seeing it. Like, I see it when I go to restaurants. I see it. It's like, what the hell is it? Are they, one, not working just because they don't feel they have to? Are they getting unemployment and all everything's being taken care of for them? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the workforce is perfect. It sucks. There's days where you just wake up and you go, fuck, I got to go to work today. Or does anybody know about the Sunday scaries? That Sunday after the weekend where you're just sitting there going, I don't want to work this week. I don't want to get up and go work. Yeah, it's not fun, but I don't know any other way. Hard work or working in general should not be frowned upon. I get the allure of it, the appeal, but this isn't going to last forever. You're going to have to work at some point. So you might, I mean, on one hand, it's a good advantage for the workers to kind of get things balanced and let the corporations know that we need things, right? So that, I'm not going to frown against that. But to not work, and it's the same ones that seem to not work that are complaining about things. How backwards is that shit? You should still have to work. That's how you make money. That's how you do things. There's no handouts. I've just never seen it so vibrant. Things are open. There's jobs out there. Look around. I can understand when the pandemic first started. Like, everything shut down. Who's going to work? But now, there's no shortage of jobs. Everything's open. So what is your excuse for not working? I'm curious. If you're out there not working now, what is your excuse? Unless you have some kind of injury or you're on disability or you're still making money somehow, I just don't understand that logic. I've been working I've never not had a job. Even jobs that I hate and I don't want to do. I just, tell me where the logic is on that. Oh, the blah, blah, blah system. No. Everything just seems like an excuse not to work. And don't get me wrong. You guys, for the ones that are looking at it like that, you have every opportunity now not to do anything. But don't sit there and say you can't find work. You just don't want to do that. Look, I get it. It's easier not to do nothing. I have my days where I don't want to do a damn thing. But if you have the right people around you, they're going to push you over that hump. And I'm grateful enough to have people call me out when I'm being lazy. It's not always a comfortable feeling, and we all want to take that. Because it's, like I said, if it wasn't for all the complaining about things and all that, from that side that is not working, I'd have a little more empathy. I have complete empathy if you literally can't work. But if you're just not working just because either one, you're making unemployment, which is not a career. Welfare, unemployment, all that, it should not be a career you reach for. You know? It comes with a free cardboard box. Things are twisted. Everything will balance out. But right now, there's just a lot of questions. A lot of questions I don't understand. And that's probably the theme of this episode. Just questions. I always told myself I'd always ask, bring up things, talk. I like to talk more about other things, lightheartedness, sports, comedy, the whole nine, right? Find the games. But there's certain things that you can't ignore and you ask questions. I'm enjoying this ramble session. Well, thank you. I know I'm going all over the map here, but you know, I'm literally speaking what comes to mind today. How's everybody else doing? Wantittall.buzzsprout.com. Wantittall. Thoughts, opinions, email. I'll bring it up on the podcast. We'll talk about it. How the hell are we going to give up our weapons? Everything just, you know. College football started yesterday. College football's back. Week 0. Next week's the big one. Labor Day weekend. Can you believe it's Labor Day already? Holy shit. My beloved Florida State Seminoles are going to suck this year. I know it. I think we'll be better, but we played Notre Dame the first week. There was a time and place where I'd be so hyped up for that game. I can't even get excited anymore. Are the Gators the best team in Florida right now? Is it Gators, Hurricanes, Florida? Florida State might not even be better than USF until they combine all the leagues. Is Alabama, again, the clear favorite? They're clearly number one. Ohio State's up there. We'll have a complete college football breakdown on the next episode. We'll talk about all the favorite teams. Ohio State, Big 12 moving over to the SEC. Ohio, and by Big 12, I mean the only two teams that seem to really matter there is Oklahoma and Texas. I think it's kind of cool that they're moving to the SEC. There's always changes. Just keep the traditions. I think change is undervalued. I don't think you should be scared of change the way it's uncomfortable. There's no, I wouldn't be getting anywhere to where I wanted to get in life without changes. Don't be afraid to get out of the comfort zone. Don't be afraid to make changes. If you want to make a career change, you can do that. I understand people got certain things, but so I'm in the midst of a lot of changes too, which I'll be going over with on all future episodes. I'll be talking about the struggle, the journey, the intricate details of all the uncomfortableness I will give to you on this podcast. I'm not going to like talking about a lot of it, but it's going to be good for me to get out of my comfort zone because that's fun. And it's like having that that dream where you're naked on stage, except I get to put that nakedness through the microphone. So just picture me naked right now speaking into your ears. That's how I'm thinking about it. So when I'm uncomfortable, I'll be doing that through this microphone. Who knows? I might even do an episode or two just butt-ass naked here. But you'll never know. You'll never know. You'll never know when Naked Jake's speaking to you. So just keep that in mind. I might have already done an episode like that you're listening to, and I'm just stark naked. Just balls in the air, talking to you. You'll just never know. A little bit of mystery goes a long way. Oh no, is he naked now? I could be. So just keep that in mind. Yes, don't be afraid to change. I've been through a couple big changes. Even if you're going through a breakup or anything, just keep in mind, any breakup that I've ever had, I always look back and I'm like, it happened for a reason. Or I dodged a bullet. Or I'm like, fuck, damn, God, that didn't work out. So whatever you're going through, whether you lose a job, there's always going to be another job. If you're willing to work, you got to put yourself out there. You can't let the fear overwhelm you, right? If you have a death in the family, that's, grieve your own way, but everything will be okay in the end. There's literally nothing that you can't look at as a positive. Negative is so much easier though. And drinking. Whew. Hit that bottle hard. I know I've had my nights where that whole bottle of Jameson, boom. But we evolve, we grow, you learn from it, and then the hangover will teach you another thing. Don't hangovers have a weird way of really making you put things in perspective? St. Pete still has a part of me from the Bay Boozers draft. It took me 3 days to get recovered fully from that. 3 days and three workouts later, just struggling in the gym. That rower has never been more difficult. Great things come when you reach for bigger things. Being comfortable is all cool and all. What I'm trying to say is go work. Go out there and work. Oh, I completely forgot my original thought that I was going to, that selfie story just really hurt me. So back to lids. You just get off track on these things. So back to the Lids locker room in West Shore Mall, which can go fuck themselves. We were going to literally drop hundreds of dollars on Bucks gear, but nobody showed up for work. And walking around the mall, people, there's signs up saying not open for 3 days, not out for lunch, not open for till Monday. And it was Saturday, 2 or 3 days. Also in the store, what used to be a JCPenney is now those Halloween stores. It's not even September yet, and Halloween's October 31st. It's starting. Damn, people can't wait. Like, how much preparation do you need for Halloween? Christmas, I get, you spend the gifts. Like, it takes time. How long does it take to put up a fucking pumpkin or to pick out a costume that you want to wear? Which, when you're 6'8", costumes, you have to make them. I'm yet to find a Halloween store that has a costume of my size. So now you have that train rolling. And then I'm starting to see from people on Instagram and then stores that pumpkin flavors are back. And now Dunkin's doing the pumpkin thing and Starbucks is doing the, and chaos is erupting and it's still 90 fucking degrees out. The pumpkins, I won't lie to you. I do dabble in pumpkin from time to time. But this early, I guess, I mean, it doesn't matter. I guess there's no rules anymore. If there's one thing since COVID started, the rules don't matter. Celebrate Christmas today if you want to. Who cares? Pumpkin spice is here to stay, and the sweaters are not even out. Are you a pumpkin spice person? They have pumpkin cereal. The pumpkin industry really takes advantage of this time of year. Mind you, it's not even September yet. When I'm recording this, it's not even September yet. How much time do you need to put up a Halloween decoration? I guess you need 2 months. I don't know. So many questions, so little answers, so little time. How the hell is it almost September, month 9 of this year? Nothing's really changed except more things are open. You got to do the mask thing still. Ask questions. It's okay to hate, especially if it's football. Football is the only place where it's okay to hate. Who's your baseball team? Are they in the hunt? We'll be covering a lot of baseball as the playoffs come. Thank you again for listening. This is the Want It Tall podcast. Want It Tall on Instagram, wantittall.buzzsprout.com. Email, message, like, comment, subscribe, the whole nine. Any one of those you want to contribute, I can't thank you enough for listening to me if you listen to me each and every week. This is episode 19, so I'm almost to that number 20, and then the big goal is to get to the 100 episodes and on and so forth. Just to be crazy, random, ask questions, bring shit up, see if you agree or disagree. Just, you know, whatever I'm thinking that day. Get more loose with it with each week. Football's coming up, like I said, so we got a lot to talk about. If your draft's coming up, fantasy football questions, do not keep quiet about those. If you have a question, ask me. I'll give you my best response. Go listen to that Dave Chappelle stand-up, too, that I put the clip from, that and the Jamie Foxx one on Mind Your Security. This morning, I woke up to the news that Kanye West's new album, Donda, which has been advertised, just came out. And so I'm house-sitting for the neighbors next door, which I love. Their little pup, a little Jack Russell. She's adorable. So for my walk this morning with her, I put on Donda, the Kanye West album that has been, that dude knows how to market his albums. I'll give him that. And I'm not going to give any kind of breakdown on it right now. I mean, which I love. There's 27 songs. 27 songs. What albums have that nowadays? I love that. And so far I'm about 6 songs in on my walk that I went on my walk because it was just too hot. Jay-Z's already made an appearance on there. The production value is Kanye-esque. Early Kanye is almost untouchable. The production value, he goes a little off the rails. He went crazy. I'm just focusing on music-wise. The production value is solid. Like I said, I'm only 6 songs in. 7 songs in. So I'll talk about it more in the next episode. But I wanted to just bring it up. It's good so far. The production is exactly what I thought it would be. Are you a Kanye West fan? I loved his first few albums. His last couple, when he started getting a little weird with things, was it The Life of Pablo? Hold on, let's go through here real quick. I feel like his last great album was my Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. That album was amazing. I liked 808s and Heartbreaks too. That's a good one if you're going through something. Life of Pablo and Yeezus, not my favorite. So like on the album already, Jay-Z even referenced might be time to recap the throne, or he says something along those lines. And from a business wise, if they came out with a Watch the Throne 2, holy shit, that would sell. Early Kanye, I'm talking the College Dropout, Late Registration, Graduation. Watch it. I mean, the production value on those albums is so much better than the shit that I'm hearing nowadays. No matter how crazy or he's become, I mean, which he has, so that dude's crazy. But he's musically, he's as gifted as there is. Production, rap, the whole nine. Early Kanye, there's that song with Rick Ross on there, the 808s and Heartbreaks. I love the dude musically. I don't know if I can get behind him as a person as much, but he's not homophobic. He's not racist. He's not anything like that. He's pushing the God thing, which I can't hate. But his music earlier when he didn't have all that was so much better when it was just raw. So he might just be hitting a new level because he's not as ignorant, at least it seems like, on his latest albums. He had Jesus as King and now Donda, which is named after his late mother, which I like too. So I feel like from a pressure standpoint, he put out his best music for his mother, which I can relate to. Because if there's anybody I would put out my best anything for, it's for my mom. I love you, mom. Another album that came out too that I've listened to the whole thing from when I was out driving the other day. On the flip side, instead of it being 27 damn songs, I can't lie, I love that. I love having an abundance of music to listen to. My boy Nelly comes out with a new album, 9 songs. And I shit you not, all 9 songs could be on the radio, especially here in Nashville. Nelly came out with his country album. It's a Nelly country album. He's got Darius Rucker, Florida Georgia Line, Kane Brown, Blanco Brown. Let's see who else is on there. Jimmy Allen, Chris Bandy, George Berg, City Spud. City Spud, show me love. And I'm not lying to you. I'm a Nelly fan to begin with. He's came out when I was in high school. And he's still doing it. And this, I literally drove around and I was like, holy shit. Every song I could hear on the radio at a bar here in Nashville. Every single song. Every song is catchy. Every song has that vibe and feel and upbeat to it. It's only 9 songs, like I said. So highly recommend if you're looking for an album to cruise around and listen to, Nelly. It's called Heartland. And I think he recorded some of it here in Nashville. He references Nashville in a couple songs. Here's a clip. It's just got good vibes. Country Grammar came out when I was in high school. I remember having the CD. And I've been rocking with him ever since. That Country Grammar is still his best overall album. But this one's good. This one's good from a chilling out by the lake. It's even got a good couple songs of heartbreak about teaching somebody. There's a song called Someone Somewhere, which is going to be huge if it gets on the radio. It's about helping somebody, just helping each other. And I love that that's a message in the song because I think we need more of that to kind of help each other instead of putting each other down. Because if not, shit's going to fall apart, man. I'm telling you, like, what? Who wants to live in a world like that? I don't. All right, well, I'll leave it at that. Love each other. That sounds so corny. Just help each other, man. Be nice to each other. Don't dig people down, you know, and life will be better. This is episode number 19. I love you. Thank you for listening again. I'll be back again. Want It Tall podcast. WantItTall.Buzzsprout.com. Want It Tall on Instagram. Go follow, like, subscribe, and send me messages. What you want to talk about, what you want to hear, comments, everything. And I'll be back next time to ramble for episode number 20. Until next time, see ya. I love ya. Peace.